This Friday, April 12th, I have an incredible opportunity to talk to a group of concert attendees at a Disciple concert out in North Carolina. If you haven't heard of Disciple, it's a Christian metal band. Now, I've never spoke at a concert before in my life, and I'm finding it to be quite intriguing. And I got a little bit of fear as well. But I find it intriguing, and I have this fear because I've been called to speak on human dignity. Not because it's not something that I don't believe in, but it's something that I struggle with because even though I know what I'm called to do, I am certainly not an expert in the subject. You know, I've been that guy that makes snap judgments about how a person is dressed or the decisions that they have made that led them somewhere in life, like the side of a road. But thank God I have the best example in the world to look at. Hey, my name is Steve Baumgartner. I am your host. And my mission here today, and the mission of this podcast, is to serve you through providing knowledge, tools, and resources around leadership strategies on three primary battlefronts. Those battlefronts are simply in the workplace, out in the community, and most importantly, with your family. Now let's get to work.
Leaders are not born in a womb. They're forged through heat, pressure, and a whole lot of sweat. The Fire Forge Leader Podcast serves the audience through exploring leadership at work, in the community, and with the family, using a practical perspective and real-life experiences from the host, Steve Baumgartner, and his guests in the Forge. Now, it's time to enter the Forge with the Fire Forged Leader.
Before we get started here today, you probably noticed the new look that I have here in the studio. I hope you like it because now that we've reached 100 episodes, I've decided it's time to get more serious about the operation. You're going to start noticing more consistent branding, more consistent posting, and everything just coming together better. So welcome, and I hope you love it. Before we get into today, let me tell you the three primary ways you can help this show. First, make sure you give this show a rating. And while you're in there, write a review so that other people know why you listen to the show. And last but not least, smash that subscribe button so you don't miss out on a single episode. Now, do you guys remember the Step Into the Fray series? It's a series that I did here a while back around human trafficking. No? Well, what the hell's wrong with you? Go back and check it out already. That series had some great guests that give you a really good taste for what is going on here in America and what trafficking really looks like. Now, I'm going to point back specifically to an episode that was part three of this 12-part series, and my guest that day was the wonderful Kalila Riga. Now, for real people, go back and listen to that episode. It is absolutely phenomenal. But Kalila told me something that day that still blows my mind. She told me about this turning point in her life, the exact moment when Christ stepped in and touched her life. And he did this through a man who walked into a Las Vegas bar. This man was simply there and had a conversation with Kalila. He had this conversation even knowing that she was a working girl. So what did he talk to her about? He talked to her about that she was made for more. That he knew what she did. what she was doing with her life, but she was made for more than that. This man had this conversation with her and then included paying her. I mentioned she was a working girl. He paid her at the end of this conversation without having any sexual acts, knowing that she needed the money, that she needed to bring that money back, that she needed to be paid for what she was doing. On that podcast episode, her final comment to me on this subject was a call to action to simply call on everybody to stop long enough. Stop long enough to notice other people. To look beyond yourself. Now, during Holy Week, I really started to rack my brain about how this talk was going to come together. And I prayed. I prayed for guidance. I prayed for the Holy Spirit. And as always, the Lord provided. On Thursday at church, I was sitting there hearing readings I've heard year after year in my life. And of course, on Thursday night, I listened to the reading about how Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Now, if you haven't heard this, in John chapter 13, the verses flow like this. Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. Now pay special attention to this. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Now, I don't go real deep into faith and religion in this podcast a lot of the time, right? And I'm going pretty deep today. But I want you to think about these verses. These verses are in a certain order. They are after Jesus had already identified that Judas was his betrayer. Now, this is the first time that I had really, truly understood this in the Gospels. Are you picking up on it right now? Did you hear what I just said? Guys, Jesus washed his feet. He washed Judas's feet. The one that he knew was going to betray him. The one that was going to send Jesus to his death. And Jesus washed his feet. Now take a minute. Take a minute. Pause this episode. Think about that for a little bit. This man was the one who turned Jesus in. The one that would ultimately lead to Jesus' demise. Jesus knew this at this point, and still he washed Judas's feet. Let it soak in. But that's not where the Holy Spirit stopped for me during this contemplation. The Spirit kept on guiding me from there. And I want to take you to another scripture. This time, let's go over to chapter 8, still in John, which says, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him being Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and he wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." So here we have Jesus, who basically ignored the societal norms of the time and refused to cast the stone. But he didn't just refuse. And this is the part that I really want you to think about today. He bent down and he wrote in the dirt with his fingers. And he did this for a while, until they continued to ask him the same question, which he stood up and told them that they had sin as well. And then he went back down. He went back down to his knees. And he went back to writing into the dirt. Now, have you ever considered why Jesus was writing in the dirt in the first place? You know, I did a little bit of research on this, and nobody really knows. Right? There's no clear-cut answers to this. So we're going to do some speculating today. But let me first tell you that some scholars believe that it was because he was writing the sins of the scribes and Pharisees in the dirt. And maybe he was. But I don't believe that. I don't think that that's how Jesus thought. That's how Jesus acted. I have a different thought. And here's my thought. This woman was caught in a sin. She was ashamed. And she was in this place that shame was being just brought down upon her like a ton of bricks. And I want you to stop and think about your own shame. When you have been in a shameful spot, where do you look? Well, I know where I look. And it's down, right? Our eyes go to the ground. They go to the dirt. What was he writing that day? Could he have been writing to that woman? Could he have been writing something like, "I still love you, no matter what you've done"? Could he be saying that, "I forgive you"? I want you to forgive yourself. The world is never going to know the answer to this question until the last days. But what I truly believe is that he met that woman where she was that day. Not where he was, which was the Almighty. He met her where she was. And he did that by meeting her eyes. By meeting the eyes of that woman on that day. If not when he was writing in the dirt, certainly when he stood up. Her eyes would have been drawn up by his movement. And his eyes would have lifted up from the dirt as well because of the direction of movement that he was taking. But he met that woman where she was. And that's what we need to do as people as well. We need to stop and notice people, as Kalila mentioned. We need to stop passing judgment, as the Pharisees and scribes did. And we need to meet people where they're at. Now, guys, I felt it on my heart to share this with all of you today. And not just share it at this one concert. I think this message has power. And I hope it impacted you strongly today. There are hundreds, thousands of people in the world hurting today. There's homeless, there's prostitutes, there's people in trafficking rings, there's people who have been abused, and people who are looking to end their lives today. We need to meet these people's eyes and see them for who they are, not what they have done or the choices that they've made. We need to meet these people where they're at. We need to stop driving by them on the roadways and making quick judgments about who they are because of where they're at in life. Once again, we need to meet them where they are. Now, I hope this landed with someone today and that it makes even the smallest difference in the world. Now, leaders, you have come here to listen to this message once again, but listening is not enough. What are you going to apply this week, this month, or even this year? Remember, when you become a better leader, you become a better spouse, a better parent, a better coworker, and ultimately that person that other people want to follow. God bless.
You have just experienced the heat and pressure of the forge. Remember, words without action are meaningless. Now, after the heat of the forge, shape your thoughts, quench your brain, then put your new tools to use, adding to your leadership. Tune in next week for more lessons from the forge.